Gentlemen, this is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, and tonight I have a very, very special guest. She and I go way, way back, so many years I forgot to count. Her name is Mary Brotherton, and she is special in so many ways. This is just a little bit about her. After years of writing and editing for others, seeing her name on their mastheads, Mary took a break in 2012 to become her mother's caregiver. When her mother crossed over 2 years later, Mary thought she could step back in the same path she'd walked for so much of her career. However, as life is known to do, it threw her a curve. In 2018, she joined other professionals to create Be Unique. At Be Unique, they provide a free educational publication that highlights people doing amazing things to make our world better. Since then, they have featured more than 3,000 charities, philanthropic businesses, and individuals who are working today to change tomorrow. She still writes and edits as a freelancer as time permits, but Be Unique is her passion. So if you want to be a part of that movement, get in contact with her. I know from experience, from the ground floor, that it is a experience that you will never, ever forget. In 2022, Mary decided that it was time to add to her quiver of talents. So she published her first book after working on it for 40 years. Her second book sprung out of nowhere in the spring of 2023, after only 90 days from the first thought to the last page. And then a third book was inspired by a conversation with another author. in this industry that we in, we pull inspiration from each other. As indie authors, we can do that. Now she's looking to rejoin the workforce to contribute to an organization that can make an impact on the world rather than just her little corner of it. Mary, how are you, my friend?
I am fine, and I am so glad you chose that song for tonight's show, because that's how I feel about you. You have been my cheerleader and my mentor and supporter from the day we met in Coco Library. I think that's where it was. It was like when I saw you, I felt like a magnet had just pulled me straight to you. And we've been, I'm not going to say inseparable since then, but we've never been far from each other.
No.
It's been really a magical trip that you and I have been on together, and I love it.
And what is so fun about it, Mary, is we don't see each other for months and months, and we pick up right where we left off.
Absolutely. And that's the sign of good friends, real friends, true friends, because you don't need to play catch up. You don't need to figure things out. You just need to, hey, how you doing? I'm fine, just like I was last week. And it feels like we were together last week.
Right. You are absolutely right. Now, let's tell these folks the journey. Let's start with when Mary and I first met, she was freelancing and she was doing interviews and photographs and reading other authors' books. And she took several of my books and she went around and got other books. And it's like she said, it was like we had known each other in another life. So she calls me one day and she says, "Yvonne, I have a dream." Now you tell that story.
The Be Unique dream or the writing dream?
Well, we'll start with Be Unique because the writing came after.
Yeah, and I just released my fourth book, by the way.
Oh, my Lord.
A couple weeks ago. It's insane. And you know, when I told you that I'd be on the show, that book wasn't even really on my horizon. I don't do this. It just happens to me. But Be Unique came about because another friend of mine and I were feeling like disgruntled old women. And so what do most disgruntled old women do when we get disgruntled? We go to lunch. So we went to lunch and we started complaining and griping and, this isn't working. I don't like that. I don't want to, just stuff was happening. So satisfaction with life was we knew that we had helped other publications, many of them, get awards. And we got very little recognition. Not that we need the recognition per se, but an atta girl is nice from time to time. So we were also both of us working for the same charity. And both of us felt like we were unappreciated, not just under, but unappreciated. Because every time we would do something, we would be told to do it different or do it more. Enough was never enough for those people. So we were just sitting there complaining and talking. Said, if we could do anything, we would create our own magazine and get our own awards. We'd also create a charity where we could run it better than we've been handled. Be nicer to our volunteers, that kind of thing. And so I remember so clearly she put her fork down at the same moment I did mine, and I looked across the table at her, and we both said in unison as if we'd rehearsed it, "Whatever we do, it has to be unique." And that was how we came up with the name of Be Unique. And, of course, it's not spelled like two words. It's spelled B-U-N-E-K-E with the U as the only capital letter. And it's because it's about you. It's about the people that are reading it. And so we created it. And one of the first people I reached out to and told about it was you. I want to write.
Uh-huh.
What can I do? How can I help? And I know you chaired our board for a year and or 2 years, I think it was. I don't know. It was just, you were just there. And you, in your way of not pushing, but yet shoving, you helped me see so many things that we could do. And you were just, you gently guided. And yet when we needed to be treated less gently, you did it. And you had, you knew the words that we needed when we needed them. And I am always going to be grateful to you for that. You got us started with our podcast.
Uh-huh.
You gave us our opening on your show. And after about a year, you shoved the little birds out of the nest and said, go fly. Fly, my pretties, fly. I feel like one of your little monkeys.
But the thing is, the reward of never being judgmental, of showing you and Jennifer that you're only limited by your own mind, and that
yeah.
if you wanted it bad enough, you could do it. The reward of seeing this magazine all over the world, of seeing you grow personally, of seeing Jen, because out of this magazine, ladies and gentlemen, they have done films. They have saved a historical house in Melbourne.
Two, actually.
Two historical homes. Mary has released her fourth book. She has gotten involved with some other, are you still involved with that group in Central Florida, the metaphysical folks?
Actually, not involved. We're doing it ourselves. We've created something called Metafest, and that's how we raise money. Because, you know, Be Unique is so unique. And so
yeah.
different from other organizations, we don't have galas. We're a non-gala charity. Most other charities go, oh, we should have a gala. Let's charge people $500 so they can come and eat rubber chicken with us.
Right. And no, I've had enough rubber chicken.
So we wanted to do something that was meaningful to us. And that was how we came up with Metafest. It's a tabletop event that's free to the public. We make a little money by renting out spaces to other we highlight the charities and give them a special discount, but we also bring in people that are entrepreneurs. I sell more books at Metafest than I do anywhere else. And I'm going to be selling books this tomorrow. It's a weird time from 3 to 6, but it's when they're doing it. So I'm like, okay, I'll be there.
All right. And where is this one?
It's in Cocoa Village at the Civic Center.
And Cocoa's just up the road.
Yes, it is.
Peace. Ladies and gentlemen, the thing about Mary is one of the reasons Mary and I were drawn to each other is if you notice the photographs that I put on the show itself, Mary dances to her own band just like I do. Mary doesn't care.
And I love
care.
The pictures you chose.
Well, see, they're
that
so
was
you.
Me.
That's so
that
you.
That was me in a nutshell.
And it's because Mary is very comfortable in who she is. And this is what we as women have to learn. We can't be mean girls. We can't tear each other down. We can't treat each other with disrespect, because some of us, not counting you young ones, but those of us that grew up in the dark ages, were not respected on the whole by society, whether it was in business, whether it was in personal relationships. We were not respected. We were put in a box and expected to survive in that box. Mm-hmm. Mary and I don't do, no. If you want to put us in a box, you're going to get a fight. That's just, I can't help it. Am I right?
It better be a box of chocolate if you're putting me in it.
There you go. So when you see Mary, and she has green hair today and purple hair tomorrow, a rainbow color the next day, that's Mary. And that's what endears her so much to me, is she is so comfortable being Mary that she doesn't care what the world says about her. Ye either take her or you don't. And it's okay, because if you don't, it's your loss. I'm telling you from personal experience, if you don't have a Mary in your life, you're missing something. Because she's a lot of fun. We go to lunch, and we meet for lunch at 12, and we turn around, and it's 5 o'clock, and we sit there all that time.
Yeah, and it's like we just arrived.
Yeah, and we're getting dirty looks from the server.
Well, I just tell them now that we're renting. We're going to rent the space for the day. And when I do that, I try to make it worth their while. And, you know, because
right.
I've been a server. I know what it's like.
Exactly.
I'm not going to stiff them. I'm going to always try to make sure that they have a good feeling about me when they leave.
Right. That they're compensated that table didn't turn over for the next customer, because we're still sitting there.
Yeah, they don't need it to turn over for the next customer, because I'll make it I'll make them happy.
There you go. And so the concept of the Be Unique magazine was to have different people from different areas in the world, not just this little corner of Brevard County or Indian River County, but different areas of the world, to write articles about people, places, and things.
Mm-hmm.
And how they were either instrumental in being the change they wanted to see, or they knew somebody that was instrumental and being the change. Am I right in that assumption?
Absolutely. I mean, our main focus is other charities. We give a voice to people who are unable to figure out how to speak for themselves. And there are a lot of places like that. A lot of charities don't know how to market themselves, or how to, you know, a lot of people that run charities are not like you and me. I mean, you know, I'm going to be going, hey, look at me. I'm on this box. Come over here. It's going to be fun. I'm talking about a box of chocolate or whatever. A sandbox is always fun. You know, get in my sandbox and come play with it, because I want to make people feel better for having known me. But I also... I get a warm, fuzzy feeling when I read one of these stories online. And I'm not talking about these TikToks where people go, oh, I happened to be down the street today and I was giving away McDonald's sandwiches, or I was giving away donuts, or look, I gave this homeless person some money. No, don't show me what you've done. Let me find you. And
right.
And that's what I like to do. I like to find people and share their information and shine a light on them. And so we give a voice and a spotlight to people that are deserving of it and don't know how to do it themselves.
And the thing, ladies and gentlemen, with both Jennifer and Mary is they're not for any self-serving gratification, because if nobody else knows what they have done, God knows.
Yeah.
And the people that they have helped knows. And that is where the reward comes in. Because I'm going to tell you, putting this magazine out is no cheap feat. It is expensive.
No. And it's not like we're getting money for doing this. We don't get paid for this. This is
correct.
Something that we are all volunteers. We've been doing it for 6 years now.
That just seems like
just,
yesterday.
I know. But we have been doing this for 6 years. We did put the magazine on hiatus for a year because Jennifer needed to go to Seattle to spend time with her son. And
correct.
Then she came back to Florida and brought him with her and through to the end of his life. So we have published one magazine, only digital. We have the opportunity. We did get a grant last year to help us with the printing, but we've only not been able to take advantage of it yet, just simply because
right.
of Jennifer's situation.
And
she, the fact that she even wants to do anything is amazing.
Well, it also will help her heal because it will give her a purpose.
Yes.
And an opportunity to move forward. Now, ladies and gentlemen, before anyone says, well, she can move on. No, we never move on from a death, because if we move on, that means that person never, ever existed. We move forward. And some days it's one step forward and 12 steps back. And I watched her courage through that entire journey, and my heart broke for her.
It is heartbreaking. And she apologized to me time stands still when you're grieving, and I'm trying to figure out how long ago he died. But last week, I think. But my point is, a couple days later, she apologized to me for being absent and not being a good friend. And I'm like, you've been perfectly fine. And she said, well, I'm trying to be strong because people tell me I need to be strong for my other three children and for Bob.
No.
I said, no, ma'am, you do not need to be anything. If you need to grieve, you grieve the way it feels right to you. Don't let anybody tell you that you must be strong. Because
Thank you, Mary.
That is someone who's never really loved someone and lost them.
Exactly.
When my first child's first child, my firstborn's firstborn was stillborn, and I had a well-meaning family member say, well, at least you didn't have to get to know him before you lost him.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm like,
no, they didn't.
I knew him before he was ever born. Don't ever say something like that.
Oh, Jesus.
People mean well, and that's why they say the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Mm-mm. Yep. Because people mean well, but they don't taste their words before they come out of their mouth. Does that make sense?
They had to taste it first, then they would realize this is going to be bitter, not going to
exactly.
taste good.
Exactly. So. The journey, we're flipping switches like we always do on this show. Mary had been working on this wonderful book for a long, long time, and she calls me up and she says, what do you think? And I said, go for it. And look what happened.
Yeah, because, you know, once I got that obstacle, I turned an obstacle into an opportunity is what I did.
Cool. Yep.
I got out of my own way.
Yep.
And I thought, wow, this was pretty easy. And the second book just, we've had this conversation before. I have about 24 books in the hopper waiting, just waiting for me to get out of my own way and get them out there. And I tend to be hard-headed, and I want to wait and make it perfect. And so I had all these excuses, all these reasons that I couldn't publish it yet, and I just wouldn't and wouldn't and wouldn't. Finally, after a lot of prodding and just finally got out of my own way, I got it published, and then the next one came together. Like you said, 9 weeks from the moment I thought of it to it was done. And I couldn't believe it. So the third one, well, there were two other books that came in between my second book and my third book, but they weren't my books. They were books when somebody I know saw my book and she said, oh, I wish somebody would help me illustrate mine. And I said, well, good luck with that. It won't be me. I'm too busy.
Uh-huh.
2 months later, I woke up from bed with like God had shot me out of a cannon. Go call Linda and tell her you will write her book for her. I'm like, I don't have time for that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. So I called her up. I helped her write her book or helped her illustrate her book. And then she told somebody, and I'm like, I don't have time to help another person, but I did. And I was on my way home from picking up her books at the printer, and I remember thinking, ah, I've got some time. I can take a break now. And God was like, excuse me. Don't you know who you're talking to? Don't you know who I am? I got another book for you. I'm like, oh, please. I want to do the books I got in mind. And so everything comes together exactly the way it's supposed to if you just get out of your own way.
And let God work his plan.
Yeah. And so that's what I did. I just let it flow and let it go. And when I made an announcement on on Be Unique's website that we were doing a book now on Be Unique, because that's where they're just sitting there for now. I did get my first book on Amazon, finally. But one of our other volunteers said, I would like to help you illustrate your children's book. And I said, well, let me think about it. I don't want to control it all. I have to be in charge. What is wrong? So I finally got out of my way again. I'm like, well, what's the worst she can do? She can't hurt me. Let her draw some pictures. If I don't like them, I'll just tell her thank you, no thank you. They were great.
See?
So together we created a book called Sally's Heart, and it's a children's book about organ donation.
Oh, now you know that's close to my heart, don't you?
Yes, I do. And
that's very close to my heart.
The reason that I this book has been in my hopper for more than 20 years because I have a cousin named Linda who received a heart transplant about 23 years ago. And I remember I woke up one day with the thought, Sally's heart. What am I going to do with that? And then, you know, because I just trust, I let things happen the way they're supposed to happen. And I called her up and I said, I interviewed her basically. I wanted to know all I could know about heart transplants and how it affected her and how long she had to wait and all this. So in my mind, I was going to write the next great romance. had it all planned out in my head. And, you know, some girl named Sally was going to die and donate her heart. And somebody else was going to get the heart. And it was going to end up being Sally's husband's second wife, you know. And, you know, the hearts know each other kind of thing. But then I sat on it and sat on it and sat on it for, I don't know, 20 years or more. And then just like with the Cornfield book, I woke up. I need to turn this into a children's book.
Okay.
So I did. And I love it because it brings it down into something that's, you know, on a child's level. That,
yep.
Because there are children who receive hearts or kidneys or whatever, and they don't always know, you know, they know they don't feel good, and they know, oh, this is going to make you feel better, but they still don't know what's going on.
They don't understand the sacrifice that was made so they could continue living.
Exactly. And the parents don't know how to tell them.
Right.
So that just, you know, that was what came out of this. And the young lady who illustrated it, she lives in California. You were talking earlier about the global reach of Be Unique. We have had writers from 28 different countries.
That's amazing.
It's mind-boggling.
It all started with an idea.
And I remember the old woman went to lunch.
Well, and I remember our conversation the night we talked forever, ladies and gentlemen. We talked for hours. The night we had the conversation, and you still had a few doubts, and we're going, no, how? And I think one of my questions is, how important is this?
Yeah.
How bad do you want it?
And to be honest, at the time, I didn't know how, I don't even know what the word is, and I'm a wordsmith. I couldn't fathom the impact that Be Unique was going to have. I had no idea that a little kernel of an idea in my head was going to go so far, so fast.
I would say it was a God thing because...
Oh, yes, ma'am.
The agenda was of a pure heart, and it was not a selfish thing. It was a service thing, and we are put on this earth to serve. And it was
a lot of people don't realize that.
That's true, they don't. And they don't realize that the satisfaction of a good day is to have performed some kind of service or kindness for someone else without expecting anything in return. Whether it's opening a door for someone or letting someone go ahead of you in a line or just sitting with someone whose family member is sick or dying or going and picking up a stove for a friend because they need it and you've got the truck.
And even something as simple as when Jennifer had her, you know, a celebration of life for her son, she said, please bring something to share.
Right.
And I brought things, you know, I knew that everybody else and Johnny's uncle was going to bring food, so much food. So, because it was like an open house. They did this from noon until 9 o'clock.
Oh my gracious.
They saw over 120 people in their house.
That's a long day.
And Jennifer acted like she was the quintessential hostess. I was not surprised to not hear from her for a day or two. I was surprised when she apologized. I'm like, you don't have to apologize for anything.
No,
but
ma'am.
She, I knew that she liked my tea, my Southern Sweet iced tea that I make with lime, not lemon juice.
Right.
And so I said, I'm going to bring some of my tea. She said, oh, that's great. And I could tell she didn't want anybody else drinking it. So I kind of keep it stashed in the refrigerator and I just stuck it in there. But I didn't just take tea. I took paper cups and I took a roll of paper towels because little spills happen at an event like that. Four rolls of toilet paper and a box of tissue.
Nice.
And I just put them in the guest bathroom. And I didn't say anything because I didn't care. You know, I wasn't doing it to be praised for what I did. But about, three or four days afterwards, she texted me. She goes, did you leave toilet paper in my house?
as a matter of fact, I did.
She said, that's such a Mary thing to do. It had to be you. But it was an idea that I got from another friend who's also named Mary. But it made so much sense. You know, who needs 50 kinds of cookies or cakes or fried chicken or whatever? So I took that, and that in my mind is an act of kindness. It's also an act of kindness to, if somebody's suffering, don't keep calling them and saying, how are you today? How are you today? Yes, everybody wants to know what's going on, but sometimes you need to just give people some space.
Yep, you do. And
it's a tricky thing to figure out how much space is enough and how much space is too much.
And if you call them one day, don't call them again for several days. And if you call them one day, wait, and several days later, just say, I'm just texting to let you know I'm thinking about you or I'm praying for you.
Yep.
And if they answer you, fine. If they don't, you know they got the message that they know that you care.
Over the course of 2 years, I started just sending her goofy emojis, just sending her stuff that didn't make a bit of difference. If she got it and responded, great. If she didn't, that's okay too.
Yep. In this world of technology we live in, we can do that. If someone is sick or if someone is going through a crisis, sometimes you just go sit in silence with them and not say a word. At one time in my life, I was going through a really, really, really bad time. This was years and years ago. And a friend of mine came to my house and just sat. We didn't talk. She just sat. And I never forgot that kindness.
Yeah, that's what you need sometimes.
Yeah. I never forgot that kindness. So I have a thing on my wall that says, if you can't come into the light, I'll sit in the darkness with you until you can.
Yes. I had the honor and deep, deep pleasure of interviewing Della Reese in person in her hotel suite one time. She came to Melbourne. And there was a big snafu before I got in to see her, which made it even more memorable. But her hair was a mess. She was wearing her robe. She didn't know I was coming. She was so mad because the people that arranged it, her people, didn't tell her, you've got a 10 o'clock appointment in the morning.
Oh, dear. Hmm.
Yeah. So she invited me in because she said, honey, she had sleep voice. I wasn't expecting you. I said, I can come back. She said, oh, no, you did nothing wrong. And she looked back into the room. Her husband was also her manager.
Right.
It was not you. And so we talked, and we just had a conversation. And one of the things she said was, if you're down in a bog, a mud hole, and you try to pull me into that mud with you, I'm not going. I'm going to tell you right now, but I'll stand on the bank. And if you want a hand up or a hand out of that mud, I will help you. But just don't expect me to get down in there with you. And that has stayed with me forever. And that's like the darkness.
Uh-huh.
You know, you, I'll come sit in the dark with you and I'll bring a candle or a flashlight, but I'm not going to leave you in the total dark.
No, and not going to crawl in the rabbit hole. When Jack was getting towards the end of his life, he would have bouts of depression because of the heart and everything else, and he had no quality of life, and he thought he was a burden to me. And I would tell him, okay, I would look at my watch and I would say, number one, this is the hand we're dealt. This is the only hand we have to play. Now, we can waste time in this rabbit hole, or I will give you 10 minutes to have a pity party. And after that 10-minute clock goes off, we're done. We're moving forward. And that's what would happen. He would have his 10 minutes, and then we would just move right on with the day.
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
But if I had allowed him to stay in that mud pit, I would have lost him a lot sooner. And, you know, I can be a stubborn old cuss when I have to be.
That's one of your better qualities. Are you kidding me?
I know. That is very true. Now, I want to go back to the books because, ladies and gentlemen, these books are as unique as Mary is. And she and I both believe that we have guardian angels because I have been in some situations that I don't know how I am still here. It's only by the grace of God and my guardian angels that I am still here. So the first book that took you over 40 years, what's that title?
Go With Angels.
Tell us about that one.
It is a very short book. It's only 88 pages, but it's true stories. It's a memoir. Because between my two sons, who were on the first name basis with all the ER doctors and nurses in our hometown, and me, we have several near-death experiences for the first umpteen years of my life, it seems like. And I just kept writing them down. And not only, the book's not all about near-death experiences. Some of them are just little messages from beyond. So I started writing this book, and I kept a record of it, and I kept thinking, one day, I'm going to write a book. And finally, one day came, and I started on it, and I kept thinking, well, one day I'll publish it, but it's not ready. I've got a lot more to do. And then I got a message from one of my angels who said, you can always write another book. It needs to get out now. And I just got a call or an email today. I was so tickled over it. One of the stores in Melbourne has, they buy my books at wholesale. And they keep them in the store. And one of the ladies called me or emailed me today, and she said, I'm out of books. One lady came in and wanted to buy three of your Go With Angels books. Can you bring me some more? I said, I can bring them Saturday. Can't get there before Saturday, but how many do you want? So she said, well, bring me two for the customer and two for me. So
nice.
That's what that one's about.
And the second one?
The second one is called My Angel Book. It is a picture book, and it's got quite a little interesting story. I was autographing a book to send to my niece, and it was her second book. She bought a copy for herself and one for her 3-year-old granddaughter because her granddaughter kept taking her book. So... and she kept saying, it's my angel book, Nana. It's my angel book. And so I was autographing this grown-up book, stories about people almost dying and wrecks and emergencies and whatnot. And I remember as clear as day, as I was putting it on in the envelope, I heard, now, I want you to write a book about angels for children. And I've already written about five other children's books, including the Sally's Heart I just mentioned earlier. But this one, I thought, oh, this would be a piece of cake. It's about angels. I love angels. It's for children, and I can sit, you know. I spent 2 weeks writing eight lines, not even good lines. They were just eight lines of words. And I remember going into prayer and just saying, hey, dude, look, you told me to write a book about angels for children. How come I'm not writing the words? Where are the words? And once again, clear as day, I heard, paint the pictures and the words will come. And I just laughed and laughed. I thought of you and your paintings. But I thought, nope, I am not a painter. You know what that son of a gun up in heaven said to me? That's what
really?
Michelangelo said. He said,
exactly.
That's what Michael, and yeah, Michelangelo said that to me. I'm like, oh, no, you didn't. You, no. So I said, all right, I'll start painting. And I already had the supplies. I like painting abstracts. I am really good at throwing colors down that make no sense, don't look like anything, but they make me happy because they're colorful. But I was supposed to do angels. Well, I painted two pictures I'm really happy about. One was a feather, and one was what I call a sylph or sylph, you know, like a cloud that looks like an angel up in the sky, vapor kind of thing. I was very happy with those. And the rest of them looked like Mickey Mouse might have drawn them with Pluto's feet. But I worked on it. Every night I set an alarm on my phone to go off at 10 o'clock. Every night, no matter what I was doing, I would stop and paint until midnight. So Christmas Day, because this started November 1, Christmas Day, my son called me and we were talking and I told him what I just told you. And he said, well, take a couple pictures and send them to me in text. And as I'm texting him, he's, you know, we're on speakerphone. He's going, Mom, those are cute. I guess children wouldn't object to that. They're rather innocent. Hey, Mom, have you ever thought about using AI to paint your pictures? I'm like, what? No. What? No. I wouldn't. No. No. How? No. So
and there it went.
Yeah, that opened it up to like boom, boom, boom. So I did that book, and then I did two more books for other writers, and then the third book is called A Journey with Angels. That one came to me after I thought, I can relax. I can get back to work on my novel, and I hope we have time for me to tell you about my novel.
Yeah, we're 10 minutes. We're good.
Okay, so the journey with angels came to me that I needed to create a book people can write in, like a journal, but not quite a journal, not just blank pages and lines. So it's a guide to communicating with angels. And, for instance, did you know that if you smell oranges, but you don't have any oranges around you, that's Archangel Michael?
I did not know that. I did not know that.
And did you know that if you see like a flash of blue, maybe you think, oh, was that a bird? Was that a butterfly? What was that? It quite possibly was Michael.
Interesting.
Yes. Now,
I bet
you know about the number 11. I know you
yes.
do, because you wrote an article about the 11s.
Yep, 11, 11, 11.
11, 11, make a wish.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I believe, dedicated to your granddaughter, wasn't it?
Yep, that was her saying.
Well,
it was
11
indeed.
11 is Archangel Michael's number.
Did not know that.
Well, I did not know a lot of what I just told you until I started working on this book. All of a sudden, I started getting these messages, and I would get these ideas. So I would start writing, and then I'd research, and I'd find more. And I went down the rabbit hole, let me tell you. I did 23 angels that most of us know about, but a lot of them people don't know about. I mean, there's so many angels in these books, it blows my mind. But every one of them, I show you what their nicknames are, who they are the patrons of. Like Archangel Michael is the patron of police officers.
Yep, I knew that.
And you know, what he helps with, he can help you if you're feeling fearful. He's good for helping with courage. He helps with depression and heartbreak. He helps strengthen your faith. He's interestingly connected to illnesses of the circulatory system and blood, things of that nature, even the spleen. So if you're having issues like that, so I tell you what his angel number is, what flower he resonates with, what his zodiac, you know, he likes to, all of the angels work really well with people from specific zodiac signs, but that doesn't mean you can't work with them if you're of a different sign.
Right.
But they all work with a specific chakra. They all have certain crystals that they resonate with and essential oils and symbols. You know, like Archangel Michael's symbol is the sword. But he
right.
also, if you see the scale of justice, that also could represent him. And like I said, oranges, the scent of oranges specifically. So I did that, and after each angel, I put space for you to journal about it and ask. I ask questions throughout the book, like, have you ever smelled oranges, blah, blah, blah. But when I finished, I got to 23, and I'm like, okay, I just need to find one more angel to write about. And they said, no, stop. You're done. But 24 would be so much better. No, stop.
You're
it.
Done.
Get it out now. It's got to go now. So I did that, and then I started working on my novel. Well, I started this novel about 5 or 6 years ago, before I started Be Unique, or maybe right after. It's based on one specific incident triggered it. And my husband said, oh, you need to write about that. And I'm like, oh, no. I'll give you the tagline for the book. It's about sexual addiction, abuse of power, and one man's journey toward redemption. And the impetus behind it was I was Facebook stalked. Because after my divorce, I didn't date around a lot, but I did date a little. And then I met Curtis. And there was a point in time where Curtis and this other guy overlapped. And Curtis was cool when he found out about it. He was absolutely cool about it because he knew that I needed to get my feet. I just needed to find myself again.
Right.
After so many years of an abusive marriage, I just needed to find out. And my oldest son does not think that my marriage was abusive, but my younger son knows it. So,
right.
You know, there's this whole thing going on. But anyway, this book, you know, when I told Curtis about this guy, I said, you will not believe who I just got a text message from. And he said, who? And I told him, and he says, oh, what did he want? I said, oddly, he wanted to resume our relationship. He said, did you tell him you're married? I said, oh, yes, I told him I was married. And he said, oh, don't worry, I'm married too.
Yeah, no.
And I said, And even the guy even said, and as far as anybody on my side is concerned, you know, we're just old colleagues from years ago. And I said, as far as anybody on my side is concerned, you're blocked. and I clicked the block button and never heard from him again. And I went and immediately told Curtis, and, you know, I thought it was funny at the time, but also kind of scary, because he told me, I've been looking for you for 10 years.
Oh, my word.
And so Curtis said, you should write a book about that. I'm like, no, I don't think so. And, you know, God sometimes uses people to deliver messages, not just angels.
Absolutely.
Or he'll get the angels. Well, you know this. I mean, good Lord, you're one of God's favorite messengers, I think, because you love to poke the bear. And sometimes the bear needs to be poked because the bear is so stubborn.
That's
true. But the very next morning I woke up once again. It's like God says, I'm going to let her simmer on this overnight. Let her think she's having it her way. And then the next morning is like, yeah, a little sucker punch. Get up. You've got work to do. I woke up the next morning with the entire story in my head. I knew exactly where it was going to go.
And that's how it works, ladies and gentlemen. And sadly, we are reaching almost the two-minute mark with this beautiful, beautiful friend of mine. And so your books are on Amazon now, correct?
Sally's Heart is on Amazon. All the other books are still currently in boxes in my house. But they are all going to be on Amazon soon as I get around to getting out of my way. I've got so much going on. It's really hard sometimes to do what I want to do.
But folks,
because I haven't even told you about my last one, but I'll save that for another show.
Well, you're coming back. I mean, we have to continue this conversation. So you are definitely going to come back. How about June sometime? How about towards the end of June when I'm back in town?
I can do the end of June.
And then you can tell me about your new... Ladies and gentlemen, we could do this for 2 hours or we could do this for 3 hours. That's the way we roll. So the next one will probably be an hour and a half show just because this is how she and I do this. We get in each other's heads and... Now, see, there's that annoying computer. We got 90 seconds.
90 seconds. Well,
90
it's time
seconds.
To hit the button and say goodbye.
Almost. But, ladies and gentlemen, look up Be Unique on Facebook. Also, look up the Be Unique website. It's small b, capital U-N-E-K-E. And if you're not a friend of Mary Brotherton, look her up on
Shame
Facebook.
Shame on you.
Do what, Mary?
I said, if you're not a friend of Mary Brotherton, shame on you.
Exactly. Shame on you. Y'all go and friend her and get her to send you her books because you will not be sorry. I promise you. Mary, I love you with all of my heart, honey. You don't know what you did for me tonight on so many levels.
Oh, I love you too. You know that I do. I always have. From the moment our eyes locked, or maybe even before, I think our eyes just locked across the room. We're like star-crossed lovers in a different kind of love. You know, it's so
right.
Weird.
It
was love at
always,
first sight when I saw you.
Yeah, we've always known each other, whether in this life or another life. It feels like we've always known, and I've only had one other friend that way in my entire life. So with that, I'm going to say, I will get you back on at the end of June, and we will close tonight's show. Thank
awesome.
You, my darling.
Love you.
Love you, too. Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.